Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome back. 8 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network, and we really appreciate you joining us this morning. A small group of Americans seem to have an irrational fear of Christians and Christianity. Who are they, and why are they so Christianophobic? Here to educate us about this issue is Dr. George Yancey. He's a sociology professor and the author of the book Hostile Environment, Understanding and Responding to Anti-Christian Bias. Good morning, Dr. Yancey. Welcome to Faith Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So great to have you on. How did you first get interested in doing academic research on the negative attitude towards Christians and Christianity in our culture?
Well, when I first started doing research many years ago, I was more interested in race and racism. And being a Christian, I was particularly interested in racism and how it affects the church. As I started doing that research and did a lot of that research, I also begin to notice in academia, in our society, not alike, but very similar qualities among people who do not like Christians. And that got me interested in studying Christianophobia. I did some research on academic bias, and I found that academics were more biased against conservative Protestants than any other group. And so that really made me curious, and that's why I did more in-depth study on anti-Christian bias and anti-Christian hatred in our society in general.
And you mentioned you found some parallels between racism in America, and what were some of those parallels?
Well, it's just really basic things, such as how people will try to hide their racism when they have it through issues that aren't directly racist. And the same thing could be said about people with Christianophobia. Basic prejudice and the stereotyping and things of this nature. The power dynamics are different, and how it manifests itself is different. So let me be clear, it's not identical, but there are enough similarities that it caught my interest.
Hmm. So you and one of your colleagues wrote an earlier book called So Many Christians, So Few Lions, which that's a humorous bumper sticker slogan, I know. But you actually found out that there are those in our society that actually think that way. They wish there were more lions. How did you do your research, and what did you learn?
Well, what we did was we located several organizations that had a cultural progressive focus. We sent out surveys to them with open-ended questions. So that gave us some qualitative data. We also used a national national survey to look at attitudes towards Christians. They have these questions called thermometer questions, where you rank a group from 0 to 100. And I won't get technical into it, but we used that to create a measure to see people who had animosity towards Christians. So we had a quantitative and a qualitative basis to look at what we were seeing.
So who are these people that are opposed to Christians and have this Christianophobia? What particular groups? You mentioned progressive groups. Were you looking at the media? Were you looking at some academic groups? Who in particular did you find had the most bias?
We weren't looking at this point at institutions in particular, but we were looking at the demographics, the characteristics of people who tended to have this anti-Christian hatred. And yes, part of it was that they were political progressives. They also were more likely to be white, more likely to be male, more likely to be highly educated, more likely to be fairly wealthy, more likely to be irreligious, not to have religious faith or a progressive religious faith. A lot of these qualities, white, male, wealthy, educated, are qualities of people with a good deal of power in our society. And when you throw in the fact that they tend to be progressive and irreligious, my suspicion is that they tend to be powerful in cultural institutions especially. So it would be academia, but it likely would also be the media, the arts, entertainment, things of this nature. So while we didn't look at those institutions in particular, I speculate that those institutions tend to be places where you find a good deal of Christianophobia.
And I think most evangelicals would probably agree, certainly when it comes to the media, We have seen many instances of bias over the years, many documented instances of bias. How do these individuals view Christians? What would be some of the maybe the adjectives that they would use to describe us?
Well, obviously, there's some of the individuals have very hateful things to say about Christians beyond the lions and eating Christians. You know, hey, it'd be fun if we bombed their churches or something like that. But, you know, that could be hyperbole. What's more important is their overall attitude. Basically, these individuals believe that Christians don't engage in critical thinking, they're backward thinking, that they're intolerant, that they're racist, that they're ruining our society. And so there is a general belief that Christians should not participate in the public square. That if Christians want to stay in their churches and in their homes, that's fine. But they should stay out of the public square. They should not, you know, engage in our politics. They should leave our educational system alone. And a lot of times, because these individuals did not want to seem overly bigoted, they would look at measures that have what we would call a disparate impact. They would have a stronger impact on Christians than on other groups. And those are the measures that they tend to favor. So, you know, this is where it differentiates from racism, where you have a lot more overt violence and things of this nature. You didn't have the calls for violence per se, not serious ones anyway, but you did have calls to get involved in politics and make sure Christians do not have a chance to influence our political systems or our educational systems or things of this nature.
Basically to shut us down.
There is a quality of trying to shut Christians out. Of taking away their voice that is there. I'm not sure whether all of them would, if you asked them directly, if they would agree with that, but I think a certain percentage of them would.
Mm. We are talking to Dr. George Yancey. He's a sociology professor and author of the book Hostile Environments, Understanding and Responding to Anti-Christian Bias. We actually have 5 copies of Dr. Yancey's book to give away, and if you would like one of those, you can just give us a call, 877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH, and we'll take maybe the first 5 callers that call in, or you could just go to myfaithradio.com, send us a little contact email there for a copy of Dr. Yancey's book. And the first 5 people we hear from, either on the phone or through the website, will get a copy of that book. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on the Faith Radio Network.
You're waking up to Dr. Bill Meyer Live on Faith 90.7 and AM 900.
Good morning. It's the Faith Radio Network, 18 past the hour. I'm Bill Meyer. My guest, Dr. George Yancey. He's a sociology professor, author of the book Hostile Environment, Understanding and Responding to Anti-Christian Bias. We've been talking about the fact that there's this small group in our society, we might call them cultural elites, who seem to have an irrational fear towards Christians and Christianity. And because of that, they tend to have bias and do things or want to do things that would somehow marginalize Christians. And I'm curious, Dr. Yancey, have you been able to tease out, and even if not in your research, just in anecdotal experiences, have you been able to tease out how many of these individuals develop their views based on actual experiences they've had with a Christian versus those who simply maybe reinforce their stereotypes through the publications they read or the people they hang out with, kind of a groupthink phenomenon?
Well, my qualitative data allows me to see that both are happening, that there are people who had very bad experiences with Christians, and that likely has helped to create this Christianophobia. But there are also people who have very few Christian friends, maybe no Christian friends, and they get their information from the media. With qualitative data, you can't really assign percentages per se, and I would need a larger study with the right questions to really get at something like that. I think it's a very interesting question. My suspicion, and once again, this is qualified this as many times as you want, because I don't want someone to say, oh, you know, this is true. I don't know. My suspicion is that the latter is probably more important than the former. That I think that people with Christianophobia tend to have fewer experiences with Christians than your average person in a similar social situation. But once again, you know, I don't know that for certain.
Well, and why would they necessarily interact with a believer if, you know, they're kind of traveling in the progressive sphere, if the people that they interact with and work with and go to cocktail parties with, and if they're in an academic institution where, you know, the vast majority of professors are maybe agnostics or atheists, why would they, unless they have, you know, next door neighbor Bob, who happens to be an evangelical Christian, that the chances of them actually rubbing shoulders with someone. And this kind of fits with what we were talking earlier about racial stereotypes, because there are those that have particular views of, let's say, people of color, and they haven't interacted with them, don't know them. And then when they do, oftentimes they're in not all cases, but in some cases, their views start to change and they go, this is a real person. But I have to ask, and I'm sure this is something that you've pondered, there. It sounds like in some cases, and I think this would fit with Barna's research as well, in some cases, we are our own worst enemy.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I think you're right that people with Christianophobia are less likely to have Christian friends today. Some of them encounter Christians at a younger age, and it was clear from my qualitative research that some of them felt this way because of their interaction with Christians. And in my hostile environment book, I even talk about the fact that we Christians are not going to be perfect because, hey, we know that we're all fallen creatures, but we can do better. That will not eliminate Christianophobia, because some people are going to hate us for reasons beyond our own actions, and they'll find a reason to hate us. But I do think it would at least reduce it somewhat, the number of people who developed this hatred because of the actions of Christians. And so, you know, there are things we can do to lessen it, but I don't think we should have the delusion that if we were doing everything exactly right, that there would not be Christianophobia. I think there would still be Christianophobia.
Well, and the Bible certainly says that the gospel will be an offense, will be offensive to many who don't believe, and without the Holy Spirit, they, you know, don't understand it and they reject it. And certainly there are those, even if I'm guessing you, if you have a progressive, let's say college professor or a reporter who meets some just wonderful, caring, kind Christians who don't treat them, you know, judgmentally and who are doing great works of service, just by the very nature that those individuals have a faith that is exclusive and believes there's only one way to heaven through Jesus Christ, that's going to rub them the wrong way. And no matter how kind and caring we might be, they're going to reject that.
Yeah, there are people that, because of what Christians believe, they're not going to like Christians. And also, there are people who will meet a very nice Christian. And this same phenomenon happens in race, where a person meets an African-American and goes, oh, okay, that person's nice, but the group. And so I think you'll see the same thing with some of the individuals. That person is nice, but the group, you know, has problems. In fact, some of our respondents are trying to deal with the idea that they met a Christian who seemed to be very intelligent. And how could this make sense with their stereotypes that Christians were not intelligent? So there is some struggle there. I do think that Christians, as much as possible, need to go into academia, mainstream academia, mainstream media, mainstream the arts. Because I do think that contact does lessen this sort of bias and bigotry. Doesn't eliminate it, but it does lessen it. And so I think that we have a responsibility to go into these areas, which we, quite frankly, have not gone into, and to go into there not with some sort of banner of, hey, we're at war, but to go into academia and do good work, be a great teacher, do quality research, and win people's respect that way.
It's a great challenge for all of us. I'm wondering how, and again, this may not have been in your specific research, but how does this Christianophobia play itself out in different sectors of society?
Yeah, I didn't test that specifically, but I could see how it could work out quite easily in some of the things that's happening. Some of the conflict that we see, for example, with religious freedom right now, if you think about people who, even if they won't say it publicly, believe that Christians are what's wrong with our society, that they're trying to drag us back to the dark ages, then all of a sudden you realize why religious freedom is not that important to them, why they don't think that people having the freedom to take their values into the workplace, into anywhere other than their church and their homes, is not that important to them, and therefore they will fight against that, and that's why they put religious freedom in quotation marks when they talk about it.
Religious freedom, as long as it's in the four walls of your own church, and don't dare you bring it outside.
That, you know, the concept of freedom of worship, I think, is related to this notion as well. So, you know, you can look at some of my findings and then understand a little bit why people are doing what they're doing in our larger society.
Can you share any stories, just again, maybe through your own experiences, of Christians who are working maybe in a secular university setting that have experienced this type of bias firsthand?
Well, I don't know if you know of Mike Adams, but he had to sue his college because, and they actually through discovery and such found this out, that he was denied a promotion because he was an atheist who became a Christian. Mm. And once he became a Christian, he became a very vocal, outgoing Christian, and thus they actually denied his promotion from associate to full professor. And that was a major reason why he had to sue them. He won his lawsuit, and he got the documentation. I know of other cases that I can't talk about because it was settled out of court, but I do know that this does happen in academia, where if someone is a Christian, especially if they write something in a Christian journal or magazine that people don't like, that they go and that becomes a factor in whether or not they get tenure, whether or not they get promoted. Something that would not happen if you were, say, an atheist writing in an atheist journal, and that would be used against you in a non-Christian campus. It simply would not.
Mm. George, I know you teach sociology at the University of North Texas, and you've been working to start a new program there at that school. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I would love to, this is in part due to my research. I would like to try to start a Christian studies program at the University of North Texas. And the way I describe it is, we know there's Islamic studies and Jewish studies programs on all sorts of colleges, but there are no Christian studies programs. There are no programs on a state school of that nature. And it'll be a program that would do research that would help Christians, quality research that would help Christians and Christian institutions. And so, with a little luck, hopefully, and with some prayer, I hope to raise some funding so that I can hopefully fund that research and fund people who want to do that research and place it on a state campus, because I believe that having a presence on a state campus is incredibly important if we're going to change some of this dynamic, at least in an academic setting.
Well, it's an exciting venture, and I pray that you are successful, George. As you said, you've got departments of Islamic studies and Jewish studies and women's studies and gay studies. Why not Christian studies? As long as you're not proselytizing, you have a right to do that research as well. So may the Lord be with you, George, as you attempt to get this program started.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Dr. George Yancey, a sociologist at the University of North Texas. His book, once again, is called Hostile Environment: Understanding and Responding to Anti-Christian Bias. We have a couple copies of that book to give away. If you give us a call right now, 877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH, we'd love to send you one of those. It's 29 past the hour. This is Faith Radio. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.